You're listening to Triple Radio on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Go! Hello, and welcome to Fat Gatsby's Triple Radio for October the 5th, 2015. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not going to use my outdoor voice for fear of frightening the toddler on my lap.
He's a nice, soothing, daddy-like.
Yeah, because if I raise my voice too much, like if I yell at the dogs, or I call to Lauren, or I sneeze, or I cough, or I clear my throat, like sometimes it freaks him.
Any sudden change in volume.
Yeah.
He's really good with the dogs barking, though.
They'll wake him up. I mean, like he was pretty chill when you came in, but if he was sleeping and it woke him up, he would be screaming. But because he was already awake, it's just like whatever. Who cares? This is Tim. Yeah. Ben's here scratching his junk.
Yeah.
Weiss is here scratching Ben's junk.
Brown Butter Benjamin.
Brown Butter Benjamin, and Dave's here.
Hey,
all
I'm
of
there.
Us. We're He's back. There.
Wishing we could. He could scratch our junk.
Yeah. We recorded last month's episode in the car on the way to Mag Classic.
Boo.
So it's been a while since we've been in studio. Oh, what's your problem, Ben?
That I didn't get to go.
Oh, for the second year running, you have missed the premier September MagFest flashback event.
Was this only the second one?
This is only the second one, yeah.
Yeah, so I missed both so that I could be at work.
Well, at least you got to be at work.
Yeah. There is that. You did have that going for you. We went. It was good. We talked about. I don't know. We recorded something on the way home from Mag Classic, didn't we? Did that go up?
Yeah. I don't think it's gone up.
Okay.
Not up.
All right. No. Do I have it yet? Shit.
You should. No. Yeah. That should be
somewhere in there. Okay. Yeah,
that's in there. Be in there.
All right, coming soon, our thoughts on Mag Classic driving back in the car.
You just wait. Thoughts.
Yeah. 50 minutes of swearing.
I don't remember. I mean, like, that feels like an eternity ago.
Yeah.
It was only
about
weeks.
A month ago.
Yeah, but September is kind of the longest month of the year for us working in school. It feels like a very long time ago.
Yeah.
It's been a very busy few weeks. Extra busy because Lauren got a job.
Right.
And so that was before Mag Classic, kind of our thing, we had a bunch of money saved over. Like, okay, well, probably like after Mag Classic, that's when you're going to have to start, looking around for a job. A week after Mag Classic, she had a job and was working.
Right.
So there was like no come down from Mag Classic for me. It was just very suddenly me having to take care of a baby all day and do the whole stay at home dad thing that Dave, you are very familiar with. Intimately familiar with for you.
I sympathize, and also there's a part of me that's a little bit like, oh, now you know how it feels.
Now you know.
I do sympathize.
Yeah.
Believe
no,
me.
No, it's not.
I try.
Saying things.
It's great, and I get to spend a lot more time with him one-on-one, but I don't know, today for instance, he woke up at 5:30, and I was up with him at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And I did get to take a nap once Lauren got up, but then since then I've had him from 1:30 till now, and he hasn't really taken a nap. And he's making noises.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier, when I was downstairs with Tim and the good sir, he pulled a red fox and had his hand on his heart and the one hand out.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah, coming to join Daddy.
Yeah, so
I hope that's his voice.
Yeah.
Red fox's old
rough afternoon. Most of the time, I can get things done, and he's not mobile yet, so.
Right.
I just have to keep moving him so he's looking at different things, playing with different things, sitting in different positions.
What sort of things do you have around to keep him in? I had a coterie of
boxes.
Various devices.
Yeah, well, it's like we have the...
Mostly cardboard boxes.
Yeah, we have his cushy little bouncer, which has been a mainstay since the first week he was born. But now he can actually reach the hanging animals and grab them and try to pull them into his mouth. He's got a thing that I can lay on the floor, which has, you know, an archway of toys hanging down with a keyboard thing that he can slam his feet on that makes a bunch of noise.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
What else has he got? We got a bouncer for him now.
All this stuff
comes from my brother, since he has a little, slightly over a 1-year-old now toddler, as she has begun toddling. So it's like I get all his hand-me-down stuff, which is great. So yeah, he's got the bouncer. Bouncer is like the last resort, because that will keep his ass busy for like 23 minutes and also wear him out. and like, he likes just sitting in the high chair and playing with stuff. Like, I actually just set him in the high chair and pulled that into the living room and had him watch football for like a half hour earlier, because watching football is pretty great. And of course, sitting on the couch next to me is always, well, not always, but sometimes good. So long as I keep him moving, he's not in one place too long, like, he'll stay pretty interested.
New sights to view.
Yeah, I can sit him in the bed while I, you know, get my laundry together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've decided that if I end up having a child or multiple childs.
Just steal that one.
Yeah. I'm going to make, for the toddler, for the one on the move, I'm going to make a room that it's much like the canned heat. Jamiroquai. No, maybe it's not canned heat. What's the one with the moving floor?
Yeah,
Jamiroquai.
Yeah, Jamiroquai. But
canned heat is also a band name.
He's traveling without moving.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. I will be doing that. So he just keeps crawling. Furniture goes by him. It makes it look like he's actually moving.
He's in a virtual insanity, if you will. Yes.
You also need to buy the MDMA for him, though.
MDMA.
Keep him. Yeah, to keep him moving, to keep him rolling on that, so that he wants to keep traveling.
Right, right. He needs drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See what you do. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to, you know, turn that room into a virtual, that scene from Trainspotting. Yeah.
Oh, with the baby on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Turning its head 360?
Right.
Yeah.
You put the treadmill on the ceiling as well.
Well, sure. And Velcro on the baby. Unless you really mate with a Velcro woman, you could save some steps.
That's true. I'll have to see.
Mate with the Velcro woman. Everyone's going to hear it.
Yeah. A lot of people are having polyamorous relationships these days with Velcro women.
Well,
and
I mean, in all fairness, I don't know Cassie's ancestry. So she could be of part Velcro.
You didn't ask for a blood test?
I did not. New York State doesn't require it anymore, so we skip that.
New York's about common sense.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for all we know, we could both be the same side of Velcro, which is useless.
That would be embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
If you have even 1/8 Velcro blood in you, your baby is going to be completely Velcroed.
Really?
There's some tax breaks, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At least in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah. Some job opportunities.
In the eyes of the Lord. Yeah.
He provides
where tax breaks matter the most.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please grant me this tax break.
Are you Southern Baptist? Is that what that was?
Yes, I was Southern Baptist. Okay. Velcro. Lord.
You can't just throw the word Velcro in. You're just being lazy, Dan.
I'm sorry.
It's that Velcro sitcom, you know, Bosom Buddies Velcro.
Odd Couple Velcro.
Yeah.
Snake Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Snake Super Mario Brothers.
All right, cool.
No burp. No burp.
Yeah. He's staring at me with milk on his chin.
Boy. I got to wipe your face. He's going to kick your phone.
Yeah, fuck that phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is a lot of work, Tim. I appreciate every single minute that you are putting in. Like, in a way, alone time is great because you're sort of forging your own relationship and your own kind of like, nope, this is what me and him do together. This is our thing, and that's kind of nice. You know, it's just exhausting.
Yeah, it can be exhausting. Some days are good. Some days it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, today it was an, oh, my God, take a nap day. Take a freaking nap. And he's just has not been having it. But whatever. We're good.
I got rid of mine.
Baby? You're done with your baby?
Yeah.
About time.
Well, that's right. You put her into the juvie?
Yeah.
A boarding school?
Until she's 16.
Yeah.
And then I'll get a couple of good teenage years in there. No, she's with Grandma and Grandpa. She was with Grandma and Grandpa tonight so that Jan and I, this was my wife's dream.
I imagine I'm ruining that dream right now.
No. Her dream was to, she said, wouldn't it be awesome if we could, you don't want me to share your dream?
Oh, come on.
It's a beautiful dream. It was a beautiful dream. She said, wouldn't it be so great to just like have an afternoon to do nothing but just sit on the couch and like binge watch something on Netflix. Remember when we used to do that? Like normal people. so we made it happen.
Oh,
what
kinda.
Did you choose?
We're checking out that HBO miniseries with Oscar Isaac, Show Me a Hero, yes. The David Simon joint.
Cool. I wanted to see that. Yeah.
I've got to tell you, this young man, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, I really like Oscar Isaac.
Holy shit. I mean, I finally
You'll
got
know
to
him
see
from Star Wars. But
yeah, I'm excited to see what his role in Star Wars will be now, because I finally got to see Ex Machina, and I finally got to see Inside Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
And man, I am loving this dude's work.
Yeah. Nope. Same deal. Absolutely.
Nice. Yeah. I started watching The Walking Dead again on Netflix. Oh. So I finished season 3 and started season 4. So I'm a little bit. Well, they just put season 5 on. So I'm like, I can get almost caught up. But then, like, tomorrow, The Flash is going to be on there.
I was just going to say The Flash is
I've been very much looking forward to seeing that. So, which will probably be a good break.
Right.
At some point.
You know, at least enjoy the humor of the early episodes before it really finds its groove. But
yeah, that's fine. I made it like 7 episodes into Arrow, and that was
That's about
woof.
Yeah, I got about 5. Maybe.
Ah, it's too bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back. And
yeah,
try it.
I might.
I want the tie-ins at this point to Flash more than anything. But
that show keeps going, so there's got to be some quality in it somewhere.
Yeah,
I mean, once it gets over its doldrums early
on,
I assume business must pick up and. Freaking Gotham is all over the place in my face, and I'm just like, oh my god, I don't know, the season 2 is called Gotham Rise of the Villains.
Good lord,
that is a bad name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's really bad.
I've never heard a good word about that show.
I've never heard
heard good about the guy that portrays the Penguin.
I was going to say using the term, like the phrase rise of the, or rise of, like.
Never a good sign.
No, it's not. Really not. Rise of the Silver Surfer. Kapoofed.
Kapoofed.
There he goes.
Hey,
poof, be gone.
Hey, kapoofed. Ugh.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the freaking Mark of Kree sequel. What was that?
Yep, Rise of the Kasai.
Rise of the Kasai.
It just never. Yeah, just forget it.
Yep. Kapoofta.
Kapoofta.
Yeah. Kapoofta. Yeah, shouldn't mess with that.
That's an old Velcro word.
Do you know? I don't think you have the right to say that word.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. My great grandfather was Velcro.
1/16th Velcro doesn't.
I'm actually because of some ancient laws, I'm not allowed to vote in Massachusetts.
Oh,
if I ever lived there, I couldn't vote.
Would you be burned at the stake?
For
your Velcro following ways,
they wouldn't dignify it with a stake. Just straight up rope over the tree.
Oh, damn, dude. Anywho,
whoa.
This went a turn.
Speaking of fun and games, who has been playing some video games?
Wait, I got a question before
all right,
we move on.
Sure. Yeah,
on Amazon, maybe you've seen it. There's supposed to be a new series coming to Amazon Prime, and I think it's Amazon Prime. I might be getting this all confused, but it's takes place in the future. I think it's based on a book, and it's if the Nazis won.
My dad was telling me about the show. Yeah,
is that Amazon Prime?
Yes, it is.
Because I'm trying to find stuff about it because I really
isn't this Wolfenstein?
Watch that, so.
Yeah, right. What is the name? Do you know?
I can't. That's the thing. Okay. Like
Wolfenstein.
Yeah. It's Return.
Rise of Castle Wolfenstein.
Rise of Castle something something.
Oh, you know what? It might be something or other High Tower.
Like you can't just throw something or other in there and have it work.
The Return of the Academy. Zach's Revenge.
If you just Google the word Amazon and the word Nazi, it doesn't come up.
No, it just brings up Amazon Nazi.
Yeah.
Is it just like a very tall female Nazi?
I'm excited.
I was gonna say
that,
a very unused division of Amazon's.
Okay, The Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick.
That's it.
Oh, it's a Philip K.
It's
Dick.
A Philip K. Dick.
Philip
K. Dick.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested.
All right. Yeah, it looks good, and cool. it's I've been really happy because as much as I didn't get into Transparent, it did very well at the Emmys.
Which whatever one? Those. Oh, you didn't get into Transparent.
I watched it. Cassie really liked it. They were basically I couldn't get behind what's his name?
George Senior's.
Yeah, it's his kids in it. I just really didn't like the kids in the show, and everything with him I thought was amazing, but I just didn't give two shits about the kids. So I don't know.
It's too bad.
That was just but I mean, Cassie really liked it. She watched the hell out of it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Amazon high waisted bikini bottoms. Amazon high chair, high heels, high castle.
That's Amazon.
Yep.
They got it going.
High castle.
Oh. Okay. Goodbye, Luna. Get.
So much energy. He's gonna start hitting the buttons.
Oh, oh. No! Don't do that.
He's got a hold of the cable.
He does. Remix.
He will not like it. What?
Nope.
Oh yeah.
I want to hit the space bar.
Nope.
Yeah.
Apple. Okay. I got a PlayStation TV for $20.
No.
Plus $5 shipping.
Nope.
Not worth it. Especially with that shipping.
It's the first for $20 plus $5 shipping.
Nope.
It is the
closest thing. I know. What I really want is the bundle. Yeah, it's exactly. It's the closest I've come to seeing a Vita on this Cowboom deal today.
Yeah, but as you said, if Vitas are dropping to like 60, forget that TV.
At this point, though, I'm ready to cut my losses.
Well, it's not like the Vita TV can even. Well, it's called the PlayStation TV now, but it's not. Yeah. It can't even play all the Vita games.
Right.
I know. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
And yet, I'm being intrigued by it.
Oh, my God.
I'm just waiting for Black Friday on Vitas at this point.
Black Friday.
Hoping this year, maybe they'll have a sale since Sony's doing nothing else.
Has a job. Maybe I can get a PlayStation 4 to play one game on it. Maybe I'll get a new graphics card instead.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh, thank you.
Bless you.
Wonderful. All right. Who's played some video games?
Oh, boy.
Bring it.
All right. How are we doing this? Roundtable or just blow through? Or
Go.
All right.
Start talking about something.
Yeah. I'll blow.
Ben, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot.
Power School Databases. Power School Schoology.
Yeah.
Power School!
What's up? Power's in the school.
quickly, way back, I picked up Cyberbots on...
Oh, yeah.
That's really fun. I really liked it. I want to play it on a bigger screen because I played it on the PSP. And I think like that was my only real beef with it, though, because there was just...
Ah, those load times are annoying, though.
It wasn't... Well, it didn't feel that bad to me, I guess, at the time, but... I don't know.
Perhaps like, I'm simply impatient.
It was a very unique fighting game, and I think...
Oh, yes. No, like great art design, great character design.
The feel was really good too.
Yeah,
very quick.
The feel.
The mid to late 90s when innovation was happening with fighting games, and then innovation died for about 12 years.
Right.
it felt more like playing a one-on-one version of the Super Scope 6 game Battle Clash than any game I have played since its spiritual sequel.
You target and knock off armor.
There's some of that, Weez, isn't there?
Not that I well,
some
if there
selective
was,
sprite
I didn't...
splintering of armor, like plating coming off.
I just don't think you were like targeting it per se.
It's a CPS2 Capcom fight.
Oh man, now I want like a buffed out Battle Clash RPG that uses like the Vagrant Story combat system.
That's a I would play that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man.
Just give me anything with a Vagrant Story combat system and not the Vagrant Story item management.
Right. Just please fix the interface. Oh, geez, oh, we're kicking things.
Oh, stop it.
I gave a playthrough of Abyss Odyssey since that was free one weekend on Steam. That was the Atlas.
Really?
I was kind of disappointed with it, honestly. I thought I was going to like it a little more. It was. It might be one of those things where I need to get some upgrades to enjoy it, but the combo system was just very limited. It was like three or four moves, and I went through like two levels. So it was a little slow. And one thing that might just be me, but it's really weird because the menu is pretending that it's kind of floating in water, but it's really annoying and kind of made me sick in a way, like it was on a ship kind of thing. Because I'm just like, want to get to my things right now, and it's like floating ever so slightly. So that kind of bugged me. Huh. So, I mean, it looked great. Nice and big.
Yeah, I think I've looked at that many a time and been like, what is that? And yeah, I've not done anything with it.
I was excited because they always have free games on Steam for a weekend, but I never play any of them.
Yeah, I sure installed Evolve with a 4 in it that weekend and then never touched it.
Yeah.
I believe that was also the weekend that MGS5 came out, so go figure.
I guess most of my time went into a replay of BioShock Infinite, of all things.
I saw you were doing that.
Yeah. I made it through to the end. That game's still pretty good. I mean, it's only 2 years old, so it's not like it's old and battered. It still feels very fresh.
Yeah.
I had to... So I wasn't as frustrated, even though I was still kind of frustrated with the ending fight. I looked up...
Okay, yeah. Yep.
Down here.
Oh, well, this isn't even story.
All right, okay.
I just found a very easy way to win the fight that's a very frustrating fight.
Yeah. It's just like you're just getting overwhelmed with enemies. It's
the first half,
a big kind of standoff fight. It's not like a one-on-one boss battle.
Yeah.
It's shit coming at you out of everywhere.
Almost. And so did you find a new way to sort of cheese it and it frustrated you as much as like, well, why couldn't this be this easy the first time?
No, it was like my main beef with that fight is the first half. If you die, it starts over. And the entire game is really good about you die and it has it puts you back right where you were.
Uh-huh.
It just penalizes you by either having the enemies drop less money or returning some of their health.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great system.
Yes.
So you have to make it to a certain point in that fight before it has a checkpoint. But there is one of your tools that you can use that I didn't even think of to kind of ease that fight, which is silly, which I never would have thought of.
Mm.
But I'll mention afterwards since...
Yes, I am super curious.
Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, I still think that story holds up. I know there were
a lot of stuff that you missed before.
There was only the only thing that really caught me. This is Dave, take your headphones off.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that means his headphones are off or not. Dave?
Okay. I mean, you have to stop talking too, Dave. I'm going to take off my headphones and yell into the microphone.
Yeah. Okay, so there is the section where you're kind of riding on the boat. Okay, yeah, where you
yeah, still the boat.
Okay, well, you're on like a gondola, and you're passing kind of Lutessa after Lutessa.
Yes.
I didn't notice because there's one where male Lutessa is drawing on a canvas, and female Lutessa is modeling.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, okay, great. But I didn't see that what he was painting was himself.
Oh.
I thought that was insanely clever.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, and I hadn't caught that before, so that was it. But otherwise, I still missed a lot of boxes and stuff.
I mean, I feel like more of the... I mean, the story of BioShock Infinite, I also still think is the best part. I thought that where I think more people end up having a problem was the gameplay and how kind of...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just rooting through garbage cans and like it's not.
See, to me, I still like it. I think just because
I played
the first BioShock, like the gunplay just wasn't really like super fun to me at the time. And I just think Infinite is so much better at that.
Yeah, I think it has. I can't really remember. It was that long ago. I felt like looting what felt better.
Mm.
More rewarding in the first BioShock than it did in
because they were more rarer things.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a certain point like where you're just looting through garbage cans and just like there's ammo and health and all of them. And it's just like, what is even going on here?
That is true.
Who the hell threw these shotgun shells in this garbage? Like, what?
Like, you really don't even need to loot an awful lot. It's just kind of instinct.
Yeah,
I think it's a gaming.
It's the freaking impulse.
Yeah.
Like I'm picking up common drops in Diablo. And why? Because I'm just going to sell them. Like they're garbage.
Exactly.
Garbage.
But yeah, no. So I put most of my time into that. And after that, the only other game I've put a long amount of time in, well, quickly I'll say that I've picked up, it's a weird tangent, after Bioshock, The Marvelous Mistake. I don't know if you've heard of this one or not. It was in one of the bundles.
I might have it.
Yeah. You probably have it. You know, I'm not great at stealth games, and generally they annoy me. But I think this one's really fun. It's a isometric stealth kind of game.
Yeah, I got this game. I'm looking at it now.
It's a stylized kind of 60s... female thief just running around stealing art pieces. But I think, like, I was telling Steve, I think I need my stealth game to just be so clearly defined. Like, you know, I see exactly where the cone is.
Yeah, like, never want that situation where it's just like, well, how the hell did they see me or who saw me?
Right. And it's very clear. Like, I know exactly what I can and can't do. And it's just kind of like very kind of quick stages. So it's very, like, in and out, pop in, do, like, one or two heists, and then I'm done. So definitely recommend that, and I'm having fun as my in-betweener kind of game there. And I've played most of Miles Edgeworth for DS at this point, which is good. Did you even play that one yet, Tim?
Nope.
Okay. I think it's... I think I had more fun with Apollo Justice than you did, and I'd say, like, even though Miles Edgeworth, I think, is... the weakest of the five so far, I still am really enjoying it. I think, like, it's harsh because it doesn't have the inherent humor of the Phoenix Wright games because he's just a more serious character, and they're not really, like, making him the straight man, per se.
Yeah.
Like, it's not quite as wacky, but the cases are still pretty good. There's, I guess, the most interesting change is there's sort of this logic system, so... if somebody says something, it kind of pops up a bubble and then goes into your brain inventory, as it were, of just, like, to kind of connect the dots on those later, which I really like and I wish was just a little more complicated, I guess.
Your brain inventory, which could also be read, I guess, as bra inventory.
Inventory. Yeah, it's your bra inventory. It's where all your bras are. I will say, like, I think it's a little easy, and it could, I'm probably at, like, the second to last chapter, so I'm hoping that there's kind of a big finish where everything comes together, as a lot of these games kind of do. I remember that was kind of a big thing about Apollo Justice, where it was, like, the last case was kind of way more interesting than everything else, and kind of, like, or tied all the gameplay things together, and I'm... think I heard the same about Miles Edgeworth, so I get the feel, because I know they made another one in Japan as well.
Another Miles,
yeah, okay. That just never made it over. So I'm kind of curious if, like, this is where they kind of got the system out and then they refined it for the sequel, or, you know, kind of thing. But it's still, you know, I'm just really engaged with that universe. Like, the music's still awesome. I just, like, you know, that style of that evolution of point-and-click adventure sort of.
That series was the shit at one point.
Yeah. And people, well, now I can buy the Dual Destinies on which people love, so.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. So.
Yeah, the heyday of the DS.
Right?
Mm. Fucking A.
Yeah. Five of these ones for DS I now own.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. The biggest series I have on DS, I guess.
Because I probably have more Dragon Quest games, but...
Well, because I sold off 6. So, and Castlevania only had the 3, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's a bit for games, anyway.
Cool. Sweet. Yeah, so I have played more Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, which I first talked about in the car cast.
Yes.
That game is still freaking awesome
and
so much fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just, like, well, let me see. I finally got out of Afghanistan, and I have 2 areas open to me now, and I like Africa, more than Afghanistan, because the way the Afghanistan map is laid out is it's a lot of like canyons and mountains. So you kind of really have to follow the roads everywhere, which makes getting between like the, you know, the places you need to go kind of a pain in the ass. Whereas in Africa, you can just kind of drive over the, you know, savanna, like whatever. Okay. Get around a lot. I get around a lot faster in general now, just because I kind of know how to play the game. I'm just,
right.
Well, you know, the first companion you get is D Horse, because it's a horse. You ride the horse around.
Right.
D-horse? Pretty straightforward. D Horse, Diamond Horse, is what the D stands for.
They always have those kind of initials.
And yeah. Metal and gears. Now I look out and try to steal vehicles, or I can get a vehicle dropped in if I need one, or D Horse dropped in if I just if I want to go that way. You can only have one active buddy in the field at one time, and I have a lot more options than that very suddenly. And that I got D Dog and Quiet and the D Walker, which I haven't tried out the last video, but Quiet is freaking awesome.
Cool.
And D Dog was also really cool. Before I started using Quiet, and they both have their uses. Everybody has their uses, and it's cool. Yeah, it's just like you can send Quiet into an area, and she'll scout it all out for you, and kind of like tag the guards and points of interest. But she can only tag like outposts are the only place she'll go to. Whereas D Dog follows you along, and anything in within like a certain radius, he'll sniff and like mark on your radar. So if you want to know everything that's around you, you bring D Dog. But if you want someone to scout ahead, you bring Quiet. But once Quiet's done scouting, she takes up a sniper position, and if anyone spots you or an alert goes off, she just starts capping guys. Nice. And it's great. Oh, and it feels good anyway when you're sneaking in. You can see like her green laser pointer like on the nearest guard to you. Just like they freaking try some shit and just like boom, down, dead.
Nice.
Like it just feels really good.
It's nice knowing that she's there.
Yeah.
Quietly getting your back.
Yeah. Quietly. No pun intended. Yeah. She doesn't talk. No pun intended. She doesn't wear any clothes, no pun intended.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But she's cool, and that game is cool, and now I can Fulton out like anything that I want to. Just run up to a tank, throw a balloon on it, and goodbye. Goodbye, tank. You are my tank now. There's just like so much to do, and it's so fun to play, and I got so many more guns now and more customization I can do. And the story is gradually going somewhere as I play story missions on occasion. That game's pretty great.
I keep seeing Mahoney on there when every time I turn on Steam.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Perhaps the last great AAA Konami game, since it sounds like they're not going to make any AAA games anymore, other than what, Pro Evolution Soccer.
Right, whatever.
I mean, they weren't really.
Sad.
Yeah, kind of a bummer. Just make pachinko machines.
Yep, sexy pachinko machines.
It's sexy. It's just the only kind.
I have also been playing. I'll come back around to the other big release of that era. Let's see. Since Mag Classic, Shovel Knight Plague of Shadows dropped the free DLC for Shovel Knight.
I'm mad because they pushed the physical release, which was supposed to be out next week.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like a whole second quest with different enemy placements, a different character, a different take on the story. And, you know, Plague Knight has completely different mechanics than Shovel Knight. He doesn't have a shovel.
Is it meant to take place concurrently?
It does, and they account for that in the story in a kind of cute sort of way. Because, Plague Knight is not allowed in the towns. It's not just it's not like, they give you Plague Knight and the game just kind of plays out like whatever. It's like, no, you can't go into town. So you have like a secret hidden base under one of the towns with like your own little minions.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, you have your second in command who like develops all these different bomb parts for you. So you can customize your bombs with like a different casing, different powder, different fuse, and those all do different things in different combinations.
Is he as fun to use as Monsieur Shovel Knight?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like Shovel Knight was cool. What I remember the most is, of course, you had like the down stab, like the pogo. Yeah. So you could pogo on things. More like DuckTales, but also like Zelda 2. And you'd pick up these relics that you could use, kind of like Castlevania. And it's like you find a relic with Plague Knight, and he's just like, ugh, what a worthless piece of junk. And you have to trade it with a guy to get, like, a special item. But Plague Knight has a lot of aerial mobility because he has a double jump built in, but also you have this kind of charged bomb jump, which also you can get different versions, things that do different things with that. But it basically, like, you use it and you will go flying across the screen. It's okay. Kind of crazy to get used to at first because you just move so far so fast. But eventually you kind of figure it out and you can, it's cool. It's different.
That's cool.
And different.
Yes.
That's cool because it creates a sort of a different challenge for navigating the levels than the, you know, precision platforming that Shovel Knight often demanded of you.
Yeah. I mean, there still might be a bunch of that, but it's just different. Okay. And they have these green coins scattered around to collect, which will help unlock more stuff. It's really cool. And it's free. It's not even like it's just free to backers of the Kickstarter. It's free to everybody.
Yep.
And, you know, so like Shovel Knight is so worth buying, like full price. Don't even wait for a sale. Just buy the damn game. Like, because there's two more of these coming. And more stuff after that. So,
yeah. So I downloaded the update in anticipation of finally playing all the way through Shovel Knight, which I finally did as of a few days ago.
Yeah.
And oh God, in the car in our car ride episode, I was talking about Zeo Drifter, which I don't remember if I had finished it by that podcast, but I have by now, and that is still a great game that is worthy of your time and money. It's a 4 out of 5, whereas Shovel Knight is like a goddamn 27 out of 5. In the sense that they are both,
you may need a new scale,
back retro side. No, we'll stick to the 5 scale. It suits most things. In the sense that they are both retro-styled, throwback kind of platformers, you know, Zeo Drifter is very good, but doesn't exactly, you know, sort of redefine the standard, whereas Shovel Knight is just so amazingly exceptional in every goddamn respect, from the level design to just the feel of the controls and the moveset and, God, the music. I'm so glad I finally plunked down a little cash to Jake to buy the soundtrack. It's just such an extraordinary reinvention of all the very best aspects of what we remember loving about 8-bit platformers, smoothed over, modernized, still very challenging, but in a more fair, modern way. It's such an extraordinary game. Like, to call it a modern classic is obvious hyperbole that it just so easily earns because it's that goddamn great. I'm just totally floored by it.
Huh. Yeah, it's really good.
It's goddamn good. So, yeah, I've got Plague of Shadows ready on my 3DS, ready for me to, you know, sit down and enjoy. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Sweet. Cool. Yeah. Also, on the... oh my God, Luna, get away from the door. Freaking bass drum.
Whack.
The percussion is here. Yeah. On the topic of 2D platformers that I kickstarted, the Mighty No. 9 special apology demo came out about a week after they said it would. This is Mighty No. 9, the game that was kickstarted like 2 years ago and is delayed to
nothing but worse.
delayed till next year because they are finishing up the online components that I don't give a shit about. That's but anyway, they nice. Yeah. Oh man, there's a lot that's sad about Mighty No. 9.
It's in the car, right?
Especially playing it. Well, okay. So there is a really cool mechanic in this game, which is, I think, kind of like what his main idea was that he wanted to do, in that you have a dash, which you had in like Mega Man X. But so what'll happen is you'll shoot an enemy like, you know, enough times that it kind of becomes somewhat disabled, and then you dash into it and kind of like absorb it.
Differently abled, can we say?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. It is abled in a different way that is not so good.
How do you convey that in a sign?
And so what that kind of mechanic creates is this really fast pace where you're
right.
De-abling enemies. We're disabling enemies and then dashing into them, and you just keep moving forward.
It sounds like he sort of wanted to make Strider.
Maybe. I mean, it's a much faster pace than Mega Man or Mega Man X, especially, which was kind of more methodical. Yeah. Enemies took more damage.
Yeah.
You get, and this, you're just like, you just motor through the levels. You motor through these boring ass freaking levels, shooting these boring ass enemies.
So is this? Are you playing essentially the final version of the game?
I mean, it's the final version of those levels, as far as I know. It's just like really dull. That's level design.
You know what sucks is because that's my main complaint with Mega Man 10, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like the great Mega Man games have super distinct everything. Enemies, levels, bosses, and like the levels were just like, oh, okay, I'm in a military facility. All right.
Been there before.
I'm in a, there's like a power plant and there's like an oil field in there. Mm. And there's just like a certain drabness.
Oh, is that racist, robot boss from the PSP?
No, Oil Man is not here.
That's too bad.
Freaking A. And like the enemies, to their credit, like I could see what they're doing in that these are robots that would have a purpose in the room. So they're like floor sweepers.
Oh, yeah.
And
a bunch of Roombas.
Yeah, there's like some, you know, there's military bots and like each level kind of has a thing that's like, oh, okay, this kind of makes some degree of sense.
No, I like that.
But the thing is, there isn't enough variety in them. Like, I felt like each stage kind of had its, like, here's the enemy that is unique to this stage. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, four other bots that appeared in all of them, including the aforementioned Street Sweeper. And, like, a guy who you shoot his shield and it bounces around, then you shoot him again.
Of course.
It was just like what have you been doing the past 2-3 years on this game?
Tell you what, Fantasyland, obviously economics being what they are, yada yada, would it have felt more creative if all of these visual elements were sprites instead of polygons?
I don't know. I think it just has more to do with the art design overall, and maybe I just don't understand like it doesn't it just doesn't I don't know. And then, you know, the other thing that actively makes me mad is all the fucking voice acting and cutscenes.
Right.
And that I wanted none of that, and that was all stuff that kind of came after the Kickstarter that they added in. And every time you fight a boss, it opens with there's a cinema that I have to skip. Like, you die and you go back in there. It doesn't just automatically skip it for you. You have to skip it again. And I didn't finish any of the bosses because they each had, like, some really kind of cheap one-hit kill move that I didn't understand.
I had heard something about that.
And I was like, okay, that's not a lot of fun. Like, what? I don't know. It's a bummer. What I played is a bummer. The music wasn't that great either, but it's really, if I want to focus on something, it's the level design and like the enemy variety was just like very, very below the bar. I mean, you contrast that, the freaking goddamn Shovel Knight is just kind of pathetic and sad, and is a much better homage to classic Mega Man than the game that the guy who made Mega Man made.
I'm really mad that I was so timed out to play that this month. Like, I'm just like, it's perfect. Last month at work.
When, Shovel Knight still. I was just like, you're mad. I backed this goddamn game.
Yeah, no, sorry, Shovel Knight.
When did they delay it to?
Early November, which isn't that long. It's just like October 13th. Yeah. Well, it'll be.
Hey, by the way, Weiss is moving to Austin.
Oh, yeah. So I'll be Skyping into these.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was thinking about how when we do blank of the year, like, we're going to actually have three different time zones, and the only one in the room with me is going to be Mackenzie, which is freaking weird. Because,
Yeah, that'll be weird.
Yeah.
Hey, you could get Ben in there.
Yeah.
He can hold up the monitor for my face.
Someone's got to blow me.
I'll come. It's true. Unless it's snowing.
I just pictured Ben trying to blow you, but Dickie being in the way. Just, I'm so used to it.
New adventures. Hey, buddy.
Daddy's little cock block.
Yeah. In so many ways. Anyways,
he's waving a white flag.
Yeah, Mighty Number 9, the three-level demo I played, I would quantify as a disappointment.
Yeah.
It was a bummer. It lived down to my expectations.
Bloodstained can't possibly be as disappointing no matter what.
I mean, it's
they
a different person in charge.
Yeah. No, I'm still excited. I just have in the back of my head, I'm just like, God, don't be Mighty Number 9.
I remember some exchange between, some random person on Twitter was tweeting at the Devil May Cry guy, Bayonetta guy, Beautiful Joe guy.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
I can't think of his
Hideki?
Name. Right. Yes. Hideki Kamiya. And I don't remember what it was, but he said of Inafune that he is not a game designer. He is, like, a marketer. Yeah.
Okay.
he designed those games back in the
80s.
In the 80s, but you see, like, what he really wants to do is make cartoons and movies
right.
and go multimedia with it. That's what he's really about.
It's weird because, like, you know, the special way that Kojima is a movie maker, like, and how that kind of manifested into his games. Because, like, mm-hmm. I've read a lot of, you know, like, that's what his background is. Like, he didn't really plan to go into video games. It's just where he found a job. Like, he's like a filmmaker. And that's why, like, you know, once the PlayStation came out, like, that's where those stories kind of, like, went. But he found such a cool vein that no one else was really doing. And that kind of, like, auteurship, you know, peaked out versus, I don't know what Inafune kind of became. Absorbed in his own one property, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But, and, God, I want to see what Kojima does now. But,
yeah. and the other thing I played is Super Mario Maker.
Right. All right. Yeah,
yes.
You made Mario.
I made some levels, and Mario ran around in them. And I played some levels.
Oh, God. Man, that was a lot of spit. Out of Tim.
Yep.
Oh, there's some
He's so excited.
Buddy.
Okay.
Uh huh. He's okay.
Look at Da.
No.
Eat Da.
I won't.
Da.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, Super Mario Maker is great.
Da.
That is a. There's some ways it could be better. in the you know kind of
I just on the front of the box. This game's great. Yeah, there's a couple ways it could be better.
There's a couple ways it could be better. If it was, I mean, it's dumb that to find your friends' levels. Like, people that are on your Wii U friends list, you still have to get, like, a level code from them and then follow them as a creator, which is
annoying.
Kind of annoying. It's
That seems to be how Nintendo does all their stuff.
The best way to find levels is kind of to follow people you like and then look at the people that they follow to find levels or levels that they have favorited is cool. It takes a while to unlock stuff in this game. It's like you start out. And they give you some very basic tools for, like, in Super Mario Bros. And New Super Mario Bros. You don't even have Mario 3 and Mario World off the bat.
Boo.
Like, you get, you know, the ground tiles, blocks, question blocks, a mushroom, Troopas, Goombas, wings, piranha plants, pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just named... Oh, and... No, I don't even know if you get the springs right away, but I think I might... Yeah, that might have just been everything right there that you get... and you have to sit there and play around in the maker and make a level or just play around there for a while. And it'll be like, okay, your next delivery of items is coming tomorrow. And if you play around in there for an extended amount of time, the stuff will come early. But still, it's just – and that's kind of fine at first. But by the time you get to, like, the second or third day, you're just like, okay, give me more stuff. Like, the day I got the underwater stuff, I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not going to make an underwater level. I hate underwater levels. Give me the next thing.
Yeah,
that's the point at which you dive into the system setting.
Yeah, you can play with the clock to do it, but it's still annoying that you have to do it at all. They could.
Right.
There's a drip, 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 and then there's a certain point at which they should be like, here's all the Mario World stuff.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, here's
BioShock Infinite still has that problem, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was like, oh, here's Mario 3 castle stuff, and then you get Mario 3 for, like, everything. And then here's... The Mario World Ghost House, which I haven't even gotten to play with yet because I just haven't gotten to actually sit down and make a level this week. I've just mostly been playing levels. But, to upload a level, the person has to have completed the level. I'm sure incredibly impossible levels might have whisked by you online. Yes, you have to be able to finish the level for it to upload it.
That's kind of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
In that respect.
Yeah. So it's like there is a video out there of a streamer playing this ridiculously hard level that he made, and then he finished it, and then it's uploaded, and he was just trying to finish it himself so he could upload it.
Right.
And it's disgusting and ridiculous, the things that people do. Like, you are having to grab, like, shells, jump off of ledges, kick the shell into a spring so it bounces back and you can jump off of it up onto something. Wow. It's insane. There's lots of levels that aren't like that. Most of them aren't like that. they have a mode called the 100 Mario Challenge, which just loads you up with a bunch of random levels from online. And if you come across one that's too hard, you can just skip it. No penalty.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I ran into one that just did. It was a set of, I think, like 16 or 8 doors, I believe. And I couldn't find my way out of the room. And I'm just like, fuck this. I'm out of here. Like, I don't care.
Hey, yeah, buddy. Like those. I'm sure the only person that knows how to do it is that guy. Unless you want to do like some kind of recursive thing to.
Yeah, there might be another way. I don't know. There might have been something I was missing. I'm sure there was something I was missing.
You want to eat or not? What are you doing?
I don't. I'm good, thanks.
But yeah, the like making levels is surprisingly something that I did. I wasn't sure how into that I would be, but it's just like so fun and easy to use that you kind of get an idea and you just go. And this is kind of really the 20 years later sequel to Mario Paint in a way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Mario Paint trappings in like the sound effects, in the music. Like when you're uploading something, it's the dude helping the dude do sit-ups. That little thing. There's like, and every now and then you're making a level, and little flies will buzz across the screen.
Snow
and
you
can tap them, and then you will be playing the fly swatter mini game.
I think you just sold Ben on a Wii U.
I was reading something online about how they were talking about Mario Maker, and they're like, they had to put the caveat in there, like, you know, this isn't the same way that everyone makes or that they made the actual Mario games. It's like, no fucking shit, they didn't do it that way. Like, it's not a point and click interface. Duh.
Miyamoto made a time machine. He never made a game console. Just like, stole everything from the future.
Yeah, it's a great set of tools. It's easy to use. It's very intuitive. I've made a few levels that have people have played and favorited.
Nice.
And I'm still pissed no one has starred the airship level I made, because I really like it. But like, everyone's starring this like simple little castle I made. I was just like, okay, well, I got the castle set, I guess I'll do something with it. But people, objective has just kind of been to make cool Mario-ish levels, like you might actually see in a Mario game.
Cool.
Like, I'm not trying to make things that are super hard, that are just, you know, things you can get through. There's bits that are challenging. I mean, there's certainly people out there that are just like, I'm going to put a million enemies in here and a bunch of springs, so they're flying all over, so good luck.
The only one that, and this was just like a GIF, really, but it was like labeled, you know, a political statement, and all it was was a giant gap and some coins on the end, and you could just never get the coins.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boyfriend T-Frog lamented that there are no... My boyfriend T-Frog.
Yep. He exists.
He said that he was bummed that there are no diagonal surfaces.
Yeah, I've seen people saying that they want slopes in there, like from Mario 3.
Oh, they have slopes at all?
They do not have slopes.
That's odd.
So
I didn't no sliding?
Even think
of
it is odd.
Said it, yeah.
Because that's a big part of Mario 3 to me, too.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah.
It's weird to me because, like, when you draw with the airship tiles, it kind of automatically will draw, like, the angles to the bottom of the ship on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like there was a way that you could do that with just the regular ground. Like, I want to make a slope here. And then you just kind of get a slope piece and run it along the edge
Why not?
Ground to smooth it out. I mean, I don't know. There's
maybe it's DLC and down the road.
They have been releasing stuff for free in Japan. So hopefully we'll get that. Cool. And hopefully slopes will come down the road.
So they'll slide right down the road.
Yeah. And
of course, Mario 2 stuff in there.
No, there's no Mario 2
stuff. I would have bought it.
Which everyone was just like, you know, we get it, but it's so...
Still,
they'd have to put in a completely different rule set, just like beyond just
the stuff.
It'd just
be funny if they threw in a couple of things, like the potion doors and stuff like that.
I mean, the doors that are in the game are kind of look like the potion doors, but you can't, like...
Yeah.
You don't pull a potion out to throw it at the ground.
It's just such a gameplay leap, like the pulling stuff out of the ground, like compared to what everything...
Yeah.
Like, I did read, like, I think US Gamer did an article on that, because that was my same thing. I'm just like, come on, Mario 2.
And furthermore, it just is not an important game to that company. Like, as far as they're concerned, that is
right.
No. Yeah, it was a mod, remember. Yeah. Our Mario 2 was a freaking mod.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a dream.
That's what I played, yo.
Dave, you got games? Or
I went out and bought for $5 used from GameStop a copy of Persona.
Boo, GameStop. Boo.
Hey, you said Persona.
I know. Go on.
A copy of Persona 4 Arena, and
not Ultimax.
I had such a sorry, go on. I had a GameStop story when I was in there. I was just like, oh my fucking god. Go on, Dave.
I liked Persona 4 Arena. It really makes me wish that I had played Persona 4, I guess, which I had just bought actually on PSN. So I could. I feel like I've been kind of bummed with Arc System Works output since Guilty Gear.
That's fair.
You know, because I think Guilty. I never got into.
You're not into Blaze Blue, yeah.
The way you guys did. Because I wasn't around when you guys were playing it, and B, aesthetically, it's, you know what, it's fine. It's what they want. I'm way more into the Guilty Gear aesthetic than I am.
See, it's.
I don't know if I can really say I'm that into Blaze Blue because I played the first one, haven't touched it since.
Right.
Just because of their incessant sequelizing.
Well, I think my thing is like I didn't play nearly as much XX as you guys did. Like, I never, like, I didn't
I played
go
a lot
through
of
an
X.
Unlock thing. Yeah, yeah, X is
I
what
played
I played
a lot
the
of X. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Same here.
So,
but it's definitely like, it has a way more cohesive feel. Obviously, it's based on a licensed property, so they've already got that in their favor, but already just aesthetically, like, I can get way more down with what's going on in Persona. The visuals, the music, just the overall aesthetic design of the menus and everything.
Yeah. That's a nice thing from the Persona team, because if they do anything well, it's menus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of it feels... I don't know why it feels Dreamcast-y to me, but the fact that it's so colorful, that it's these like big, bold yellow letters. There's something about that that screams early 2000s to me in the coolest possible way, like in a Jet Grind Radio kind of way. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy the feel of it. I'm not quite down. I don't quite have a handle, I think, on just the basic mechanics of combat yet. But I was just super impressed that game.
Well, you're making reminding me that I really want to play Ultimax still.
I got to play a lot more of it.
Yeah.
I really want to play Persona 4. So there you go.
I want to kill my fucking dogs.
Yeah, I want to kill your fucking dogs.
When I get a Vita, I'll definitely replay Persona 4.
Any second now, I am going to find a Vita.
This podcast is going until Dave gets a Vita.
Oh,
yo,
dear.
Look, if anybody needs a replacement 360, especially ones that are like limited edition consoles, Cowboom's got that shit on lock right now for about $70. You're not getting a controller or anything else.
Is that that like the smaller Xbox 360s or full-sized ones?
They got all kinds.
Oh, man.
They've got the, like...
I honestly might be interested in an S for $70.
Seriously. Like, you can get a Gears skinned one, a Halo skinned one, an R2-D2 skinned one. You can just get the smallest, newest one that's...
Okay, no one is going to hear this, Dave, until it's too late.
It's
going to
be days old by the time. But, man...
Let me know if there's a wireless 360 controller for cheap, because I do need one of those. But
not at all. Nope.
Yeah, didn't think so. Were there any more games, or is that kind of the...
Did I play anything else? I just talked about...
You don't have to reach too far if you don't have
to. No, I know. Well, you know, okay, so you were boasting to me about the Bandcamp app for your phone.
Yeah.
Which I swear you told me that you could even stream music that you hadn't bought.
Yeah, yes. I do.
You do?
And yeah, does it, absolutely. Well, anything... Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really? It's like my favorite music app. Yeah, easily.
I finally got harassed to buy the XM Verge soundtrack, and I did.
Ah.
Because before I bought Vert's soundtrack to Shovel Knight, I was just trying to like stream it, and it maybe like the servers were having trouble that day because it was giving me all
maybe
kinds
it's your
of
shitty network.
I reset everything on the network. I rebooted the router.
What kind of
I did my due diligence.
He's on an iPhone.
iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless there's something weird with that.
No,
I'm all on.
Yeah. Well, and that's and after I bought the album, a couple days later I bought the album and it's like shit plays perfectly. Huh. It's totally fine. So I didn't know if it was a thing where
I've never bought the like I've streamed those Love Cannon albums like over and over and over.
And that's what I did.
And you know, Mighty Switch Forces I don't technically own either. And all of that stuff
it must have just been that day the servers were having issues or something because it was driving me nuts. But no,
give
that's
it another
slick,
shot.
And I have. I listened to our. We took a trip this weekend, and I listened. I forced them to listen to
your
the Shovel Knight. I forced my family to listen to the Shovel Knight Arrange soundtrack.
Nice.
And
hey, your whole off-campus soundtrack is still on there, I believe.
It is?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's no reason it wouldn't be.
The off-campus soundtrack available now on Bandcamp.
Yeah. Oh. Available still on Bandcamp.
Please buy it.
That reminds me.
Yeah.
I just saw an email from like probably about 2 months ago that went into like a spam folder on my X-Strike account.
Oh.
from a professor at some college that was reaching out to people that did Kickstarters.
Oh.
And I'm assuming he wanted to do some kind of like, I kind of skimmed through the thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I saw like when he wanted to hear back from me from. I'm like, well, fuck that. So,
oh yeah.
But it was kind of interesting. But it was written to, hello, comma the creator of X Strike Studios colon presents off campus. I'm like, I don't know if this is legit, but
yeah.
Just, off to a great start.
Send me information. We'll send you $5 million.
Yeah.
Transfer it safely into some offshore accounts. Just need your routing number. Thank you.
Yeah.
And please.
There's a guy from the UK. That
go to sleep, fucker.
Yeah. Ben.
Huh?
Go to sleep, fucker. any movies, anybody?
Well, I heard that Drunk Monkey's Weiss says that The Martian is Ridley Scott's best film in years.
It is. It's probably his best since Thelma and Louise. And that was 91. Probably... Well, it's a better movie than Thelma and Louise, but that was the last like really competent, like the one of the reviews.
Gladiator won Best Picture of the Year.
Yeah, well,
I like Gladiator.
I like Gladiator too, but it's I don't know. Like Ridley Scott really likes a lot of visuals, and
I like Prometheus, but I believe a movie can be better than Prometheus.
Well, the thing is, like that's the thing is like he's really good at like the atmosphere and like a lot of the visual storytelling, but you know, in the last blah 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 years he hasn't cared about character at all. And like the beautiful thing about The Martian is like, one, you know, I haven't read the book, but many people stand by, you know, what's in the text to start with, and it was adapted, which I didn't realize, by Drew Goddard, the guy that did Cabin in the Woods and was the creator of Netflix's Daredevil, and is, like, one of Joss Whedon's old writing buddies. Basically, like, so this movie's funny, and the book is also funny.
Meant to be funny?
Yes.
Okay.
No, absolutely. Like, why the movie works is because, like, you know, you've seen isolationist kind of sci-fi before, but usually it's not a joy. Like, it's usually not, like, a really fun time, and it's really just about... You know, a guy who's really good at, okay, like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm the only guy here. I'm going to have fun doing it. And there's a million problems going wrong left and right. And one of the most impressive things is that Matt Damon just spews, just lives science in it, and it feels natural.
Huh.
Like, it really doesn't feel like he's struggling to technobabble. And
cool. Neil deGrasse Tyson had nice things to say about the science in this movie.
Yeah, no, the science is almost all really, really good. Like Andy Weir, the guy that wrote the book, he self-published the book, and then it was like picked up in like 4 days after it. But all his research was pretty much like he's a software developer who did a ton of research on Google. And then when they made the film, they backed they double checked. But I mean, like, he just did a lot of research for virtually everything. And, they went into the movie saying, you know, there was basically only two or three things that had to be stretched. And one did, the only thing that really did like catch my eye is that, you know, they don't address the difference of gravity between Mars and Earth. Huh. Like, and it is really kind of obvious. Yeah, it's a, like, Mars is 40% gravity, something like that, of Earth's gravity. Like, it's a twice.
40% normal gravity.
Yeah. And there's, you know, they just don't address it because they didn't find a way production-wise for that to work. So it's forgivable because everything else works really, really well. And they are, you know, it's just formula after formula, but it's still really entertaining. It's, you're bouncing between Matt Damon, who's on Mars, and a lot of stuff happening at NASA between, you've got...
Hang on, hold on. Yeah. What is the premise of this movie for those that are not familiar?
Sure. This is the near future. We have a crew that is on Mars. The movie basically, like, gets right down to it where there's a storm. Matt Damon is hit by debris in this really strong storm. The crew tries to find him, can't, and has to leave Mars. And so he wakes up the next day, the only human on Mars, no way out, no communication. They have a habitat set up. They have enough supplies for about a year, but they can't get, like, Earth can't get back to Mars until 4 years. So he's basically trying to... And he is a botanist, so he's trying to grow, you know, food in a planet that's never grown food. And that's the only thing that Andy Weir confessed was harsh science, is that the soil is too poisoned to actually grow anything. Aside from that, though, so he's doing that, and NASA eventually figures out that he's alive on Earth through satellite imagery. So they're trying to help him while avoiding a PR nightmare. And, because it's NASA, like, they're the smartest people on Earth who could lose all of their money at any minute. So, you know, they left a man to die kind of thing. And you've got his crew that's in between, you know, Mars and Earth, which we kind of... even though we don't see them much, we see them at the sort of the first act and the third act. Like, they kind of jam packed a lot of good, like, character actors in his crew. Well, I don't know if I'd call them character, just good actors, I guess. you've got Jessica Chastain, and you've got Michael Pena, who, although is really, you know, lovable and funny, and he was the funniest part of Ant-Man. The heart of that movie, that guy. It is hard to see him as an astronaut after him being the doof of Ant-Man. But they do a really good job with little screen time on that. Like, you still get an emotional core out of that. Like, Matt Damon is just genuinely funny the whole time. He's just... and you've got kind of a weird mix of... like, bureaucracy between Jeff Daniels and Sean Bean and Chiwetel Ejiofor, whose name I can never pronounce. Everybody loves this
you
guy.
Made a valiant attempt.
I was trying to sound it out, at least, so you know who I meant. But that guy. So those three are kind of, like, discussing morality. In the board table, you've got Kristen Wiig in the background, kind of frowning at things. Donald Glover...
I saw he was in that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know he was in the movie until I saw it, but he's kind of the crackpot astrophysicist running around at one point who who I didn't really like his part in the story, but he's just really entertaining to watch, so I didn't care. And it's just it's really uplifting. Like it's kind of one of those things where it's trying to make it, you know, obvious that science is all around us, that we shouldn't really be like distanced from it. Like it's there and it's our friend and it can help solve problems. Like intelligence is rewarded throughout the whole movie. Nice. Kind of thing.
And we should probably keep it out of our government though.
Yeah. Yep. We should. Big conspiracy. Big NASA conspiracy.
Big sigh.
You know, NASA's funding those abortions.
Yep.
Oh, that's what I heard.
You need to separate the placenta, and that's what, you know, springs forth the oxygen that you take for the rocket fuel. So.
I'm no scientist.
Right.
But I'm going to talk like I am.
Yeah.
God wanted us to have an
answer. But so, you know, like, it's... That's kind of the thing. Like,
seems like this movie has been well received.
Yeah, and a lot of the reviews I was reading last night, especially from like scientists, are just kind of like, this is what we wanted out of Interstellar, and I didn't see Interstellar.
Yeah,
but a lot of people were kind of disappointed. Where like it boasted that the science was going to be really good, and was kind of thrown out for story. Mm-hmm. A lot of places they felt, and this is just kind of joyous.
I would like to see a movie that fulfills the promise of Interstellar. That would be, and I liked Interstellar, but it was definitely lacking in certain departments. So, yeah, no, you know, boy, man, I don't. And here I am, not having a kid tonight, and going to the movie theater to see this movie would have been an exceptional use of my time.
Hey, your evening's not over yet.
There are late shows.
That's not happening.
No, I know. But I also, like, I noted, and I didn't see anyone else talk about it, but I thought the score sounded insanely remarkable to Aliens. And
Who did,
like,
the score?
It was Harry Gregson-Williams, actually, who Jerry Goldsmith did Alien and Aliens. But it had these musical cues, and I'm just like, are they trying? Because... So there's an extra on the Prometheus DVD blue that just says Prometheus, like the alien world, and Blade Runner are the same world. Like, there's just kind of an extra in like one of the notes of the thing. So that's kind of canon. So it's not far-fetched.
Trying to tie the Martian in.
So the Martian, maybe it's in the same world.
Oh,
I thought
God.
That would be really weird if he was trying. I don't think he was, but I was just like, why are these, like, a couple of those cues, I'm just like, that's from Aliens.
That's
not
hilarious.
Alien, the movie that Ridley Scott directed. Aliens. So it was just, that was just really weird. But
all right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some new stuff and wrap it up.
Sure.
Yeah. All righty.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey. I'm sure there was some news. I didn't.
Yeah,
look at
I was trying to get... I mean, we didn't talk about news when we were in the car, but I wasn't going to go back that far.
Nah.
Persona 5, delayed till next summer.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah, wah.
I mean...
It's just summer is so much longer
so
than
far,
I thought it
would
be.
Spring would have been fine.
Whatever.
Yeah,
right. Star Fox Assault, also delayed to February.
Mm. Wasn't too
I forgot
surprised,
that was coming out.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't get to watch the interview yet, but the guy from No Man's Sky was on freaking Colbert
a couple
nights ago.
I heard that was a good interview.
Yeah. I saw that.
Isn't that insane? Remember that, like, one guy that was on that award show a couple years ago?
Yeah.
So nervous.
Timidly showing off his, on the E3 stage. Like, oh, if we made this game, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Insane.
Was he, like, the final guest of the night, though, who would have gotten bumped?
Oh, probably.
Miley Cyrus couldn't.
Yeah.
Well, she was doing SNL. That's fine.
Some of them hard-to-find amiibo are getting restocked. It seems like Nintendo's gotten their amiibo shit together. The stuff released in September was actually findable in stores. Which brings me to my GameStop story. Back in August, I had reserved the Retro 3-pack, which included the Duck Hunt dog and Mr. Game & Watch and Rob.
I saw the Duck Hunt dog downstairs.
Yep. The other two are on that same bookcase scattered about. So I wanted that set, and I reserved it back in... I reserved something at GameStop back in August. And... then I saw on Facebook that like Max and Holly already had them, and I'm like, wait, did they come out today? Because they didn't call me at GameStop. GameStop. So I go to my GameStop, and it's the one in the Thruway Plaza, which, Dave, you may remember. I don't know if you've been in that one. It's like 5 feet wide. And it is not a big store. It is very tight right in there.
Is that the one on Transit just north of the Thruway?
No. It's the one in Thruway Plaza, which is near my house. It's like next to a Tops.
I've never been to that one.
But yeah, it is not a wide store. It is not an exaggeration to say it is not much wider than this very room we are in right now.
That's the one that had somebody break the door down when one of the Maddens came out.
Yeah, this Darren worked
at
this
Darren's?
One.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Yeah, there's probably about 3 feet between the counter and the wall.
Yeah.
At one point in the store. And so there's a guy in there who's on like one of those, I don't know, it's not
scooter
really a Segway.
Things.
It's a skateboard.
The Walmart scooter.
Doodad thing.
Right.
Walmart scooter.
No.
I mean, it's wide. You think, that might be it. I don't know. It looks like a skateboard, except the wheels are facing the other way and you kind of wobble back and forth on it and you can, I don't know. Whatever.
Okay. No.
Oh, so the thing that we saw, I saw a guy at MAGFest riding on one of
those. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay.
And so like he's there, like, right in that kind of 3 foot space, like wobbling back and forth on his thing, like looking at his phone, because he, I would find out, is doing a massive trade in of all his PS4 stuff, which is taking up like one of the registers. There's already a line of people there because NBA Live 216, 2K16,
sure.
A basketball game came out. So a lot of people were there picking up their basketball game. And, you know, you had. And just, you know, it takes so long to get through the lines there because you can't just pick up your game and go. They got to give you the whole rigmarole about reserving games. Do you want the protection on it? And these are all things I'm just like, no, shut up. Just give me my game so I can leave. But other people like hem and haw over. They're like, oh, that sounds like a good deal. Yeah, I want to make sure in case this game breaks, I can get a new one. Yeah, this is a sensible deal. And you know,
games the breaking all
you know,
the time.
The manager is trying to do this massive PS4 trade-in. The phone is ringing constantly. The woman in front of me, her reservation was at a different store. And so rather than just saying go to this other store, the dude is trying to call the other store to get them to put her $5 deposit on a gift card to give him the number of so that he can Yes, rather than making her do any legwork. So that's like taking forever. The other guy is just, you know, kind of doing the regular GameStop rigmarole and taking forever and telling people they can reserve Assassin's Creed Unity because that's coming out this fall.
That's the one that came out last fall.
Right.
What?
Yeah. He said the wrong name of the Assassin's Creed, which is fair, but still, it's your job more.
Right, I was going to say.
God, there was some other ridiculous. Oh, there was a guy who called who had bought the wrong version of a game, presumably NBA. Whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
He bought the wrong version and then he's like, okay, no problem. I mean, you didn't open it, did you? And he's like, oh, you opened it. Just bring it in, man. We'll figure it out.
Oh my God.
And yeah. And I go up there and I give him the whole rigmarole. It's like, well, yeah, so I have the reservation. And he's like, oh, and, you know, because anything with Amiibos is just like, oh shit. but I saw a set sitting behind the counter. So I'm like, well, if nothing else, I'm getting that because the manager will say, give it to him, even if it's somebody else's.
Right.
That's how GameStop works. and I'm just like, yeah, I reserved it back in August. Where is it? But I got it and I left and I hate GameStop.
Infuriating.
But I'm glad that Nintendo's getting their shit together and getting decent stock on them.
I saw that GameStop was having like a great like buy like a sale on their retro stuff, which is
I saw that.
But I'm just like, I don't want to deal with GameStop right now.
I can't. Like,
I don't think they have that retro stuff in store, though.
They don't. It's only online, and I don't trust anything they send me online.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what fucking condition is this game going to be in, like, physically?
Yeah, if I can't see it.
Yeah. No. No, thank you. But that's good. And I was out Friday kind of looking for Amiibos, and I found two hard-to-find ones that are now in stock again, which is great. But LEGO Dimensions came out last week.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Holy fuck, is that shit expensive?
How much is it?
Okay, so 100? Like a basic yes, the game is $100.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it comes with like three minifigures and the Batmobile set. And like the Legos, the amount of Legos you get, it's not $40 worth of Legos, but because they have these, you know, bases on them and the portal. It comes with the portal. I forgot the portal you need to get things into the game. But it's like in a store, like there was a wall of them at Toys R Us, and it's $15 for a figure and their respective vehicle. It's 50 Lego pieces. Now, normally that's about $5 worth of Legos, but it's $10 more because of these things in them. I'm just like, how the fuck can anybody do anything in this game? Like, kind of the thing is, you know, Skylanders, it would be like $70-$80 for the starter set. It comes with like three figures, and then you can buy one more at like, you know, $10 a pop. It's like, okay, well,
still
it's
bad.
It's still not great. I'm still investing a lot of money into this, but it's like with the Legos, I'm just like, holy shit. But then you go up to like, they had like characters or theme packs that were like $25, and then it was like world packs were $30. Because I was sitting there kind of looking like, oh, there's the portal stuff. That's cool. I could get a portal minifigure of Chell and the companion cube and a turret. And I realized that's $30. And I'm like, no. But they have like the variety of properties they have involved in that game is absolutely incredible.
I was going to say, and that's what you're paying.
It is incredible.
I feel like that game should end the mashup culture now. Like when I saw that the trailer forever ago, I'm just like, that's it. We're done doing mashups. Every $10 t-shirt site is done.
It is. Yeah, it's all the you know, the Legos in-house properties, plus DC Comics, plus Back to the Future, plus the Lord of the Rings, plus Doctor Who, plus...
Did we just lose them?
No.
That's someone coming online. It doesn't actually show up on the recording, so people aren't going to know what we're talking about now.
Never mind. I just...
Thanks, Ben.
You saw the sausage.
I've done
it. And, like Jurassic Park stuff and Portal of all things, and it's just crazy, but I was just like, how the fuck can you... buy any of this? Like,
I saw the Doctor Who angel part.
Legos are expensive. Freaking video games are expensive. Toys to Life video games are expensive. Combine it all together, it's like, holy crap.
It's just like, for me, and I know like this, they would never do it, but I said before, it's like if they had made, and I know they're kind of done doing one property Lego games, I think, after this, but you know, the Back to the Future set, I totally would have bought.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like $30.
Yeah. And I was so sad that that's not what it was. Because, like, to me, there's not going to be... I'm sure that they have a funny story, and I'm sure it's fun to see these things interact, but it's... I don't think it's going to be as interesting as it would be messing with one single property.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, it's going to be an interesting test case to see just how much the market can bear.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I'm surprised with the success of Toys to Life at all, but in a way it kind of makes sense because it's a mainstream. It is very easy to grok for mainstream for the parents that want to buy something for their kids for Christmas. Because it's DLC basically, but you can pitch it as you are buying a gaming platform. You are buying into this whole ecosystem, which is something that your casual consumer understands. And so just to push the price point to this point, we'll see.
I was going to say, I feel like the price for what you're getting isn't there. Like, I don't understand the...
I mean, it's still crazy because, I mean, with Skylanders, which is, you know, the OG.
That's
not licensed on anything until they got, you know, a couple Nintendo characters in the latest one. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just shit they made up, which still makes it the most impressive to me. They created this whole genre, and, you know, everyone else has built on their own licenses, which is why it's probably worked, because you have the, you know, the Disney machine, which has elegantly transitioned from Disney, adding on more Disney to going, you know, Marvel and now Star Wars this year is like, raking in the cash. Nintendo can obviously, they sell their characters. That's an easy sell to Nintendo fans. And Lego is banking hard on the licensed stuff, too.
And they're, you know, they have a lot of momentum after the Lego movie and all the Lego movies to come. And, you know, they're fucking Legos.
But with Skylanders, you know, you're paying $80 for the starter pack and then, you know, $12 for what amounts to be, you know, some character DLC and the figure. to play through the same content again, I guess. And it's just kind of like, okay.
That's what I feel like. Like, it's just it's like New Game Plus, but in order to play New Game Plus, you have to drop another like $50.
And I feel like, you know, like all those characters are on the game.
Right.
So it's kind of a weird thing. Because, I mean, you know, I obviously have many amiibos, but, like, you know, you can use those with multiple games to get, like, weird little worthless shit out of them.
Right.
It's not confined to one.
Well, I told you, like, I'm the only one I'm going to buy is Mega Man because they added challenges to the Legacy Collection for 3DS.
So has anyone,
and maybe Shovel Knight.
Has anyone hacked amiibos yet?
Oh, I'm sure.
I was going to say it because it's just a stupid chip in there.
Yeah, you can just write whatever to it.
I believe they opened up the technology to, because that was the whole Shovel Knight thing, because that's not being officially.
It can be licensed by third parties.
Yeah.
I think you mean just as far as like,
I mean, as
yeah,
far as
I know,
like
man on the street hacking it.
I don't want to drop the money.
Right.
Can I just get a pick chip and do it?
Yeah.
Right.
People have done is made custom amiibos, basically. That's the hack, is that they've removed the chip and installed it into a homemade statue. Or
see,
a statue
know,
that they've
I want to know about cloning.
Yeah, rewriting the thing.
So I'm at a store. I can just clone the chip right there, take it home, pop it onto whatever.
Yeah, well,
I need
they put a little foil thing over it so that it can't be read if it's still in the package.
But you can always borrow from friends.
Exactly. Yeah, you can borrow from friends.
Interesting.
I bought into GameStop was having this big sale on used Toys to Life figurines, and so it was buy two get three free.
Oh my god!
So I got 10 of these things for Julia Page because she already has a small collection of them, and I bought a Skylanders portal, and I bought a Disney Infinity portal, and I bought like the version 1.0 of each of those games.
Okay,
so that she could try it out. And we can see what this whole thing is like. And I tell you, the compatibility between the figures and which games they are is just maddeningly confusing.
It's like, I think you need newer portals, and they're all compatible backwards or something like that, right?
With Skylanders, yes. Disney Infinity, it's the same portal.
Okay.
But with Skylanders, it was a new...
Yeah, who knows what the hell.
After the first two games, they updated the portal and, like... it's insane. And I didn't know a good way to I couldn't find a good way to find like what version the existing figures that she has, what version of the game are they compatible with. So I tried to buy like the latest version of the game that like I was willing to spend money on, because most of them are just $5 at this point, and that's about all I'm willing to spend on my 4-year-old's know playing a video.
That's what she's worth
novelty.
To you
that's
yeah we understand yeah
to me. No, but she, you know, at the Strong Museum, they have a Disney Infinity. It's like the very first version. And she brought the Elsa figurine that she owns to the Strong Museum and put it on the pedestal and was like, holy shit, daddy, this is fucking baller.
You let your daughter swear nonetheless?
I encourage it.
As long as she follows it up with daddy.
We get the best looks.
Holy fucking shit.
Shit balls are falling out of my asshole, daddy.
So I'm curious to see, you know, where how I'm going to introduce this stuff to her and just how much she really, I just want her to get a better handle on playing a game with a physical controller, because I need a player too for some shit around here.
Hell
seriously.
Yeah,
I have a daughter for nothing.
No touch screens.
Yeah. I read that Batman Arkham Knight is finally going to be back on sale on PC later this month.
I saw that.
Which
headline.
Is amazing.
They're trying.
That game was so broken at launch in June, they pulled it from sale.
Really?
Yep. Yes. Huh.
So Tony Hawk 5.
Yeah,
also incredibly broken.
That. I can't believe that hasn't been pulled yet.
And Activision is, quote, aware of the issues.
We're not
and
dumb shit.
Still sold it to people.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Apparently,
that's
this,
what happens now.
Yeah. Why apparently, this is the last. Oh, they do that. Yeah.
But now this was always a thing.
Yeah. Well, now especially because they can just patch it. Like it's easier than ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say console wise, usually wasn't as bad.
Right. Well, because
Right.
Is it just the PC version of Tony Hawk?
It's every version of Tony Hawk. But it's just the PC version of Arkham Knight.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me that that's still a thing.
Yeah.
Because that's something that back in June I would say, like, oh, I'd look for that on Steam sale around, like, Thanksgiving for maybe, like, a bit cheaper. But it will have basically just come out at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, with all its DLC, you know, intact.
Right.
Which also, fuck season passes. I'm so sick of hearing about season passes.
No.
Fucking Christ. I haven't talked a lot about Street Fighter V characters.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like a lot of announcements have been being made lately. A
couple leaks.
Yeah. We got, okay, so some old characters turning. Zangief's in there, of course. Yeah. Well, I guess I shouldn't say of course. There's only 16 characters in the game. And
I don't know. See, that's what's weird to me is because I haven't been paying too close of attention, so every once in a while it's like, and Ken is announced. And I'm just like, well, yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone was like that with Ken specifically because he was like the seventh character announced.
Well, Zangief, I was kind of the same. I was just like, well, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. Zangief, I mean, it's like no Sagat has been announced.
Wow.
Well,
there's still time.
I'm trying to think of the original. It's like
there's still going to be Ultra Edition.
Ryu, Ken. Well, yeah, there's going to be. Well, no, there isn't going to be.
Oh right. Yeah,
yeah, it's going to be all DLC characters. But yeah, you know, you got your Ryu, Chun Li, Ken, Vega, M. Bison, and Zangief. I think from the original game, who are being joined by Armica and Karen from Alpha 3.
Very cool.
Fucking Alpha 3 love.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Karen finally getting a more, I think, distinctive moveset.
Uh-huh. There was definitely a lot of room for both of those characters to kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hating Armica in Alpha 3.
Yeah, back in the day.
Hating Armica.
But the second I saw that, I'm just like, yeah, you could do a lot with this new system with her,
We used to call her Armica, right?
Yeah,
and
I think
just call
so.
Her Ramika because Armica. We had a girl in our class Ramika. Named Ramika.
Yeah. Well, they've also simplified the moves, and so many of her moves in Alpha 3 were like 360, 720. Now I think everything is quarter circle.
Oh, really?
To make it easier inputs.
Yeah.
Make it more accessible.
Sure.
And new characters, they announced Rashad,
right?
Who is that Middle Eastern dude, and Laura, who is the electric big-boob Brazilian girl.
Yeah, yeah. The BJJ. So.
Yes, looked very BJJ, grabbing some arm bars.
I'm back.
Choking some fools.
Yeah. Fools. Apparently everyone loved Rashad.
Yeah, Rashad. Yeah, from people playing it, that's what I've heard is that Rashad's really fun to play as.
Yeah.
And I've heard that I've also read that people are generally pleased with his, you know, with a depiction of a Middle Eastern character in a game.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I think they have one more new character announced and like one more returning character. I think they've announced 14 at this point. There's going to be 16.
Come on, Sagat.
I figure it's gotta be Sagat. Yeah. Like,
has to be.
Or that might be like their first big DLC character because obviously Sagat is gonna.
Yeah.
It better not be Akuma.
Right.
Fucking
boring.
Christ. Yeah.
Boring.
Snorlax.
Could be Balrog.
Could be Snorlax.
Yeah. Popular Street Fighter character in the tournament scene, anyways.
Snorlax.
You know what I kind of expected and didn't actually see? I thought because Capcom kind of. Will hop on hot trends, which, you know, go figure with, I guess the BJJ kind of covers this, but I was just kind of like, I bet they're going to have a Ronda Rousey. Like, I feel like they're going to be like,
that would make
that's
sense.
Popular.
A judo lady.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But,
could be.
I don't know. I feel like with Laura, that might be a little too similar, but
yeah,
we'll see.
I don't know. Could be like the Ken to her Ryu.
Yeah.
Anyone? Has anyone ever wished before?
Yes, I have
that
wished.
Capcom would go
fuck.
And like patch in all the old characters that were not in Street Fighter 3. If they would go back and add those characters into Street Fighter 3.
That might be some work, Dave.
I would love to see anything animated in the Third Strike.
Because what makes me think of it is all the extra sprites that they had to put in Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
To like, you know, retcon Mario World sprites like into the old 8-bit style that exist. And so I don't know why I just thought, gosh, I'm just sitting here like Dave, you're like, gosh, wouldn't it be neat if they put Sagat could be, I'd like to see what Sagat would look like in Street Fighter 3 because I'm not interested in seeing what Sagat will look like in Street Fighter 5. He'll look exactly the fucking same as he did in Street Fighter 4.
Roughly.
Big deal. Yeah. But like, you know, the Alpha series had everyone and it was so cool to see like, oh, here's the you know, here's what the revamped version of E Honda looks like.
Right.
And but there were so many characters we did not get to see in Street Fighter 3's art style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even characters
characters from 4, I'd love to. I'd love to see any character in that style. It's just a really great style.
El Fuerte patched into Street Fighter 3. That'd be that would be news I'd get excited about.
Boo.
and
yes. Did you guys see the Humble's doing a monthly bundle deal?
Yeah, they're hopping on the Loot Crate kind of trend.
Interesting. Yes, the crate a month. There's a lot of things like
month.
This. Yeah, your NutriBox or whatever the hell. Nature Box. That's what it's called.
NutriBox.
No, there's tons of these. But I think it's a great...
Your monthly subscription thing.
I think it's scary for guys, especially like you, Tim, who's been buying these bundles for so long.
Yeah.
Because they need... It has to be new stuff or else you're not going to buy it.
Yeah, well, that was like... Well, the thing is because you can't... Once the bundle is out, you can't get that bundle. Like,
right.
So the first bundle, I think, ships, quote-unquote, like the first week of November, November 6th. There's a date on it. And after that bundle is out, you can't put down your $12 and get that bundle. When you put down your $12, you get the next bundle, and you get one of the games from that bundle.
I didn't know you...
Huh. Like,
there was overlap. Like, I knew it was all about the mystery thereof.
Wait, yeah. I'm sorry. Explain that to me again.
Okay,
I don't
know. So right now, you plunk down your $12, and you get Legend of Grimrock 2. That's what they're advertising. And... On November 5th or 6th or wherever it is, you will get the bundle for the month.
Okay.
Right? You will get a bundle. On November 7th, if you say, I want to subscribe, you do not get that bundle that was just released. You get one game from that bundle, and you will get the next bundle that releases in December.
I mean, honestly, that's how I expected it to work, but...
So that I think it's so that way you can't sit there and pick and choose,
right?
Because otherwise it's the same as what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Like you gotta it's a mystery bundle, and once that bundle is out, like they'll say, okay, if you plunk down for the next bundle, you will get this game right now,
right?
And that's how they do it.
So what happens if you already have games then?
That is the question.
The
I mean,
because you get duplicate Steam keys.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. You just get duplicate Steam keys. And that might kind of suck. I'm probably going to put down $12 because I'm fucking so curious. And I want Legend of Grimrock 2. So I'll get Legend of Grimrock 2. And I don't know how many... They didn't say how many games are in the bundle.
And they're promising that it is different enough. Like, they're stressing that it's, you know, this is what we've wanted to do. This is newer stuff that's not... But I can't make that gamble.
I can't get behind this.
I can do it for 1 month.
Yeah.
I don't know about after that.
Well, I'm curious if they're going to keep telling you one game in the bundle beforehand. Like, if they do that and it's a game I want, sure.
Well, I don't think Legend of Grimrock 2 is going to be in the bundle.
Oh,
that is what they're putting out there as bait.
Gotcha.
Like,
if they baited per month...
Like that is maybe, taking the place of... Of whatever the game you're going to get out of the next bundle is going to be.
Okay.
But, I feel kind of like there's too much of a chance of me getting stuff I already have or stuff that I'm just never going to play. Right. Though, I mean, I'll probably, you know, do this month, you know, I'll have Legend of Grimrock 2, get whatever, and then be like, oh, cancel it. And there's going to be times in the future where that bundle is going to come out in the month, and I'll be like, fuck.
Sure.
But I don't think it's going to happen enough times that I'm going to want to spend $120 a year on the Humble Monthly.
That's what I sort of did, because I went, okay, I pay, well, because I'm grandfathered in, I pay, you know, $9 a month for Netflix, and I use that a lot, and this is more money, and am I going to use this as much as I use Netflix in a month?
Yeah.
No.
In every respect, it seems like a worse proposition for me than just... choosing to buy the Humble bundles that they already do a la carte, because with those I at least get to see, you know, most of the games that are going to be in the bundle. I get to dictate how much of my money I get to put toward charity, which
and
I
that,
always do at least half.
Right
I understand that they're a business and, you know, this is just another avenue for them. It's just in every respect it is a worse proposition for the consumer than what they're already doing.
I mean, if they did something where, like, if they were consistent with how many games were in each monthly bundle, and let's say you kept at it and you ended up with X number of duplicates from your library or something, and you could turn those into cash to go toward the next month
that'd be fine. Yeah.
I mean, if they had some way to track it, which I'm sure they could.
Yeah, a key trade-in.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Yeah.
Are there going to be many more games than there are already in the... Like, is it going to be a bundle of 20 games?
Well,
that would be sweet.
I don't... Well, is it going to be... Because, you know, the Humble Store is a lot more than just indie stuff. Is there going to be, like... Maybe a triple A game thrown in there once a month. Maybe it'll just... Maybe the bundle will be... I mean, imagine it won't be two games, but maybe it'll be two games and they're both like really, you know, expensive shit. But like, are they going to now start like defanging, I guess you'd say, their like weekly mm-hmm. bundles and right. such? Are those not going to be as juicy to try to get people to subscribe?
I hope
well,
not.
And it'd be it's tough to say. Because, like, yeah. like we're saying, if it, if they end up doing that and everyone starts doing the monthly thing and then everyone drops off of it because they keep getting duplicate games or mm-hmm. things they don't mm-hmm. want, then they'll probably
yeah,
switch
I mean,
back over.
There's a lot of games out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
here's what was...
I'll be interested if, you know, I go through this first month and I get a bunch of stuff that I haven't heard of that turns out to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, because mm-hmm. they said curated, so they're not going to give you shit.
Right.
Like, I think it's, they're going to try to give you, I mean, it's in their best interest to give you good things that you will probably like.
Especially early on, especially yeah. this first month.
And not give you bad games that you will not like.
Right, yeah. But it's going to be curated by one person. It's not like it's tailored.
I think it'll
you.
Be curated by more than one
person. Well, no, but yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, like you may not share the same interests of the person curating.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, sure. I imagine there's going to be a variety, yeah. no matter what.
And that curation has got to be dictated by the deals they can broker.
Legend of fucking yeah. Grimrock is yeah. not for everybody. Let me tell you that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I saw. Who's the Legacy Collection guy? Frank Cifaldi, is that his
yes.
name? Yes. On Twitter, when they announced that Humble thing, he's just like, that's great, and that's something that we were sort of like, that's where I sort of wanted my company to go in the far future. And I'm just like, huh, that's where you wanted. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm just like, okay, so what he wants to do is to have a monthly subscription for, you know, old classic kind of games, classic collection
yeah.
kind of games. And I'm like, that
yeah, what's
would,
that mean?
Yeah, that's
what does that mean exactly? I mean, yeah, like, but that was just a flippant, you know, tweet. But I'm just like, what would that, you know,
entail.
Mean?
It's interesting.
Entail. Yeah.
It's interesting. Either yeah, way, it's interesting. Interesting. We'll see how it goes. Got until November to decide. But, yeah, there's a bundle out. They just did the latest indie bundle, mm-hmm. Which is usually their flagship bundle, on which I went, damn, I already have Gang Beasts. Otherwise, getting that for $10 with some other games would be pretty sweet.
I plunked really... down to get Gang Beasts.
Yeah, it was a lot.
But I already had most of the other stuff.
Hey, Skullgirls with all the DLC, if you're into that.
Yeah, well, I just rebought Skullgirls some months ago. But...
Okay, yeah. I might just pay like a dollar to get Sir You Are Being Hunted to check that out because that title is still great. The title of the game. I don't know about the game itself, but see what they add to it,
no, it
as
did look
always.
Fun. I'm kind of rooting through my library now and
it.
Also waiting for the fall.
Like Gang Beasts for a tenner. That's really good. That game is 20 on early access. Like, come on, man.
Okay.
$10.
Yeah, I know.
That is good. That is a deal off right there.
That's what I grabbed it for. I grabbed it for Gang Beasts and the promise of more games that I do not already own. Yeah.
The hope.
True.
Yeah.
I might wait until those games are announced and see what...
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
That's fair.
Yeah. yeah. No, that's and then, else, that's it. That's all that's going on.
That's a podcast. That's a PC, as I like to say.
It's all the news that's fit to record. Little man is fast asleep in my lap. Dog.
That's his penis. They're talking about. Fast asleep.
Did not have a riot during the podcast. That's
riot.
Great.
Yeah.
I hope he had fun. I hope he had as much fun as I did, which was not a lot of fun, honestly.
It's okay. You're stoned. You're fine.
Enough to put me to sleep at the end of the night.
All right. Well, that's
it's okay. You did this instead of watch The Martian.
That's gonna do it for this episode of Triple Radio. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Goodbye.
I regret my choices.
Brown sugar.